Medically, two players to report on. John Kuhn had a knee sprain. He will not play in the Pro Bowl. It's better than we thought initially after the game, so that's good news. Greg Jennings had rib contusion, and my understanding is he will play in the Pro Bowl.
What, Aaron Rodgers had checked out?
I'm sorry?
Aaron Rodgers was checked out medically?
Every player was checked out, but at the end of the season, it's a standard practice for everybody to go through a physical. So there's always a number of things that are checked out throughout our football team, but nothing that's really required for me to report here today. So if I would go through every individual's joint history and what was checked out, we'd be here sometime.
Assuming that no one gets hurt from your coaching staff, do you intend to come back with the same coaching staff?
Say that again?
I mean, assuming no other teams take your coaches, do you intend to come back as is with your coaching staff?
Well, obviously completed the game Sunday. I've spent Monday and Tuesday with the exit interviews with the players. Today, I spent the whole day with Dom Capers, with going through a defensive evaluation, defensive staff evaluation. I will do the same tomorrow with Sean Slocum as far as the special teams, and we'll do the same thing on Friday with Joe Philbin. So I am going through the evaluation process.
Mike, before Sunday's game on the radio, you said that you told your defense you needed them to be bold going into that game, to step it up. What is it that you thought that maybe you were missing that you might have had from your defense in 2010?
Well, what we were missing defensively in 2010, I think like anything in the game of football, when you get too far away from the fundamentals and the emphasis of fundamentals, you're losing focus on primarily what's most important. I know there's going to be a lot of conversation, no different than there was throughout the year, versus pass rush, versus pass coverage. But my biggest disappointment with our defense and being fresh going through the evaluation today with Dom Capers is our productivity in tackling, and that which also follows over to the coverage units on special teams, and I'll go through that again with Sean tomorrow. And really the big play opportunities. We came out on the short side of the big play opportunities defensively, and I thought those were probably the two factors in our performance this year.
How much, if any, did that have with the new labor, the new CBA, where there was a number of padded workouts and so forth?
I don't know. I don't know how you even judge that. I mean, everybody went through it, so at the end of the day, the Giants lined up and played the game no different than we did on the same schedule. So I think all the things that lead up to the game, if it doesn't go your way, really just you look at them as excuses. I don't see that as an excuse.
Mike, can you guys improve from the fan-on defense, or do you expect that?
Well, I do know this. As a football team, we will improve from within. We have every single year since I've been here. We have a different off-season program that the whole league is going through because of the new CBA. So we're still working on detailing exactly what our off-season program's going to look like. It's something that I've always in the past have been able to give to the players, after the last game. But that does not hold true this year just because of some of the uncertainty of what's ahead of us. So I do know that we will improve from within. We will improve with the new draft class, and everything else is just things you look at. But I do know those two things. Our football team will improve, I believe, in what our coaching staff gives us during the off-season program. History reflects that, and we will be adding another significant draft class to this football team. So as far as free agency, veteran free agency, and all that's are really hypothetical situations, and I'm sure it's fun for everybody to play GM, but we'll go through the process like we always do.
Well, if you do add some competition, that you could possibly drive some improvement for next year, is that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing like competition. I think our team reflects that. We have depth on our football team. We will always try to create as much competition as possible. The philosophy of drafting and developing philosophy, taking the best football player available. So with that, that breeds competition in your program.
What are some of the new parameters for off-season programs in the new CBA?
Excuse me?
What are some of the new parameters of off-season programs in the CBA?
I don't have it memorized. I know I don't like it. I can tell you that's the first thing. We start in the middle of April, and then it's broken down into three phases. You know, the first phase is completely with the strength and conditioning, and then there's, you know, probably the individual position coach type work, the second phase, and then the third phase is the traditional OTA practices.
Mike, do you think it's too strong to say you're a poor team fundamentally on defense?
I think it's a strong I think that's a strong negative statement, yes.
How would you characterize it then? Your fundamentals of all phases of defense?
I would say not good enough. If you look at our grades, something that was posted, you know, every Monday in our team meetings, you know, talked about it with a number of our players in the exit interviews. The tackling just was not there all year. I mean, I'm not going to get into specific statistics. We did not tackle well enough as a football team from the start to finish. And it was something that is emphasized every single day in practice and something that Dom and I talked a lot about today. And the standard and what we need to get out of our coverage units and our defensive players, because it's not acceptable. So that's probably the biggest fundamental flaw, I would say, of our football team.
Mike, going back to the offseason program, how does that impact the quarterback school, especially when you've got a guy like Graham who would really benefit?
It takes a chunk out of it. That's for sure. It takes. You know, the off-season program that's going into effect in 2012 is, you know, it's just look at the time, you know, the time allotment with your football team, the opportunity to have individuals spend the one-on-one time with the coaches is, you know, a lot of that has been, you know, depleted. So I don't have an exact program for you, but unfortunately for Graham, it won't be like it has been in the past. Well, I mean, you obviously need the ability to heighten the emphasis and the drill work is, you obviously need pads on. I mean, I think that's obvious. But padded practices are important. I mean, I've answered that question all year. But I'm not going to blame poor fundamentals based on the league rules. You know, that's a cop out. You know, we need to be a better tackling team next year. So that's something that we'll talk a lot about as a football team, and will be a primary focus for us.
Mike, I know you don't think the fundamentals are there, but sometimes it's a matter of talent. I mean, or are you going to have to assess, you know, whether you've got the right tackling people or the right people on defense right now?
Yeah, I think if you really want to get down to it, I mean, obviously tackling, the ability, athletic ability in space, and getting, you know, the first thing is to put your body in position to tackle, and the second part of it is use the proper technique to tackle, and the want-to is obviously a factor into it. You know, the effort and the attitude is something that has to be there, you know, every single time. So those are the types of things we're talking about as a football staff, and we'll continue to talk about and we'll spend a lot of time talking about it with our players.
Is this something that every coach is battling, this tackling thing? It looks like it's league-wide. And is it going to be a breakthrough for one guy to figure out how to teach this within the parameters of the new rules?
Well, I really don't even know how to quantify that, because, A, I don't know what the statistics are of the other teams. I'm not a big believer of calling other coaches and, you know, getting into specifics of how you run your team and things, you know, some people do, I do not. I do not believe in that. So there are good tackling teams in the league, even without the program that was, you know, the traditional training camp programs and so forth. So, you know, at the end of the day, I don't look at it as a monumental breakthrough. You get what you emphasize in a game of football. So, anytime something doesn't go right, just like Sunday's game, the first thing I look at is myself. You know, why did we not handle the football properly in that game? So I thought we emphasized it, particularly that, you know, more than we ever did in the last month, the ability to get outside and prepare for that game. But there's, you know, there's a reason why that ball was on the ground four or five times and we had four turnovers. So those are the types of things we'll continue to look at. It's uncharacteristic of our football team. It's uncharacteristic of our football team in the past. So it's, you know, I hate to, you guys probably get tired of hearing about it. You want to, you know, play Madden scheme football, but it's not about pressure calls or coverage calls. It's about fundamentals. And we weren't as good enough in the areas of fundamentals to win Sunday.
Mike, as much as the tackling was the bugaboo of the defense, it seemed like drops became an issue late in the year, both Giants games
yes.
and the Kansas City losses. Is there something you could assess on that needs improvement or
higher? Well, you know, at the end of the day, you could talk about talent, you could talk about technique, getting your body in position, you know, the weather change. We live in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We practice outside, we practice inside. With the, you know, when it's 25 to 30 degrees inside. So, you know, I see a group of men that handle the football very well. So, the ability to catch the ball in traffic and do those types of things is averse to being wide open. I mean, you break all those drops down and you're not handling the football. You know, what's disappointing to me is, you know, we're dropping and fumbling uncontested situations, you know. So that leads to me to believe it's more of a mental focus, or, you know, we're looking on to the next element too fast. So, I mean, it's a hard lesson to learn. We take a lot of pride in the emphasis and how we practice ball security, the ability to take it away and protect it. Statistically, the last 2 years supports that. And, you know, we did not play to our identity in Sunday's game, and then that's hard to swallow. I don't think so. I think that's a convenient excuse. I'm not just saying it's because of the schedule. In my experience in the National Football League, a fresh football player is the best football player. So I don't question our schedule. And I think that would just, you know, I don't think that's, you know, the right thing to say when you come out on the short end of a game.
Mike, what does 15-1 mean to you then? Obviously, it earned the bye, but what does it mean?
It means it took care of step one. But unfortunately, step two is the most important. That's what it means to me. I'm not. I'm proud of the performance and the production of our football team through the regular season. It's something that, you know, I'll probably appreciate more once I'll be able to step away from this evaluation process I'm in the middle of. But the reality is, you know, you put yourself in position to make a run into the playoffs, and we did that very well. But then once the second season started, you know, we did not play to the identity that we were able to formulate all season, and that's, you know, that's my frustration.
Like, when you see a team like yourself that doesn't play to its identity, and then, you know, you fumble three times on offense, on three times on the team. What goes through your mind on that, though? Because it's not the team you're used to. Is there sometimes days where things just don't make any sense? Or, I mean, how do you view it when that happens? It just doesn't fit the profile.
Well, we had a week of things that probably didn't make a whole lot of sense. So, but it's a game of football. You have to prepare properly. You got to trust the process. You know, there's energy throughout that game that you have to be disciplined with. You know, did we handle the highs and lows of that football game as well as we did other games? You know, probably not. That's something I would point to if I was evaluating it from your chair. You know, so that's what, you know, we'll continue to learn from. But to handle the football in that manner, you know, I didn't see the signs leading into that game of that happening. So, you know, it was not a good day. And I don't want to take anything away from our opponent in the way they played to win that game.
How did you evaluate JerMichael's entire body of work this year?
Well, we're in the process of evaluating all of our players. I had an opportunity to speak to every player. So, JerMichael and I talked about his year. He didn't feel great about, you know, the way it went, and he knows he has a lot of better football in front of him. I think JerMichael's a very talented young man, and I would emphasize young. I mean, he needs an off-season program like a lot of guys, and I think he'll continue to grow and be an outstanding football player for us.
How much did you miss Nick Collins? I guess how much are maybe looking forward to a secondary to put it, but how much are you looking forward to getting some finality there about what his future is?
Well, Nick Collins is a Pro Bowl player, so obviously you would classify him as an impact player, but you can't really quantify, you know, how much you miss one player. I think last year's team is a perfect example of that. When a player goes down, you know, another player is given an opportunity. You know, it is a team game, and it's 11 men coordinated on each play. So we definitely, you know, you miss Nick's big play ability. But, you know, I don't think that's, you know, a reason to say, oh, okay, that's why we didn't play defense to the level that we played last year. That would not be accurate from my viewpoint. Talking with Nick, he has a big exam in March, and a lot will be riding on that exam. So he feels good. You know, he's very optimistic and positive about his future, and so am I. But we'll see what March brings.
Mike, going back to Finley, he is young, but he also has been in the league for 4 years. Mm-hmm. You talk a lot about the importance of maturing and growing for him. Did he show enough growth this year that you feel confident he's going to continue down that path if you bring him back?
Oh, definitely. I think Jermichael Finley has a lot of growth in front of him, and you know, and just like any perimeter player, you know, the opportunity to grow and establish the relationship with the man throwing the ball to you is important too. So there's definitely room for growth there. Jermichael's had injuries. If you look at the history of players that have had a season-ending injury, that first year back is their toughest. You know, there's that the subconscious there of getting through and playing the whole season. And I know early in the year, maybe even far back as training camp, Jermichael and I had a conversation, and I clearly told him, I said, the only goal that you should have this year is to play in every single football game. If you accomplish that, everything else will take care of itself, and I believe it. So maybe statistically or, you know, production-wise, it didn't go as well as he'd liked. I mean, too many drops, that's stating the obvious, but he still made big plays for us. You know, he had big games, and he definitely draws a lot of attention. So it's important to have him out there. But he has a lot of room for development.
Mike, assuming he comes back, how much does he have to be more detailed in his work? Like Ben McAdoo said, on the 3rd and 5 pass, that's supposed to be a 5-step slant that he ran it through. Are those the kinds of things that he needs to get a lot better at? So he
definitely fundamentals and technique, and it's, you know, once again, it's the timing of the perimeter with the quarterback. He's not the first guy to run 3 steps instead of 5. You know, there's a lot of guys that have done that around here and been very productive. So, and that's not what we're promoting, and I'm not dodging a question, but you want him to run 5, and so the quarterback can clearly look it off and establish the hole to throw the ball through, like Aaron was doing on that play. So that comes with reps. You know, and, you know, once again, he's a tight end, you know, but he also plays the 1 receiver position and plays the number 2 slot sometimes and plays there at the 1 slot to the 3-man side. So those are the types of things when you play in a multiple offense, and we treat all the perimeter players the same because it's about matchups. They have to play all the positions, and that just comes with reps. I mean, Jermichael probably brings a lot of criticism on himself because of his personality. But the man that I work with, he has a great work ethic. There's no one that's more into the practice on a daily basis than Jermichael. He wants to be a great player and thinks he's going to be a great player. And with his talent level, that's half the battle. So I look for him to continue to develop and establish himself as definitely one of the better tight ends, Pro Bowl type tight end in this league.
Mike, for people who don't know Joel Philbin, how would you describe his character and mental strength that he's shown in the past
4 years? Joe Philbin character. I mean, he's a special human being. And what Joe's gone through and what his family's gone through is, obviously, tough is not the proper word understating. So, man of very high character. Obviously, the way people feel about him was very evident through the week. And his ability to come back, you know, meant a lot to all of us. It was not expected. It was not asked of him. But, Joe's a class act.
Joe, Can you tell people what that did to this team last week? Did it have an effect that you could measure?
I can't. No, I don't have the words. It was. I thought the team did a good job separating, you know, throughout the working week. The practices were very energetic and very productive. The film was very good. You know, I thought we had a good week of preparation. So, but I'm sure it hit everybody differently on a personal level. I thought the way, you know, everybody rallied around Joe and what his family demonstrated through an incredible tragedy was something that we could all learn from.
Like at this point, do you think it's a decent chance that he'll be a head coach? And if so, you know, how much is that going to affect
him? I'll just say this about Joe. I think he would make an excellent head coach. I've said that before. Just really all your questions about our staff, there is activity going on around on our coaching staff, and rightfully so. It's a very talented staff. So there are some men that may have some other opportunities.
Mike, could you talk about the role of the position coach in the NFL, how important they are daily with the fundamentals, the point of emphasis of the team, and how you evaluate those guys? What does it take for them to succeed at this level?
Well, when you break down the assistant coach's responsibility, it's like any job. You know, what are the primary responsibilities and what are the secondary? You know, to the dismay of some people, their secondary responsibilities are dealing with the media. Sorry, Bob, just a little humor over there. But primarily they are the developing of their players, and that's the primary focus of our position coaches. So, but the coordinator at the end of the day is the one that works with those individuals to make sure the drill work is in line with the scheme and that we're all on the same page. But ultimately the most important number one responsibility is the development of the players that they're responsible for, both personally and professionally.
Are you bringing all 8 guys from your practice squad back with futures contracts?
That's something that's still, the process is still going on. I think Ted may probably have an announcement here for you shortly.
The incomplete pass to Jennings down the 5-yard line, that would have been a touchdown.
The first drive?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, could you just go through it and what happened on the play?
I did not watch the film, but just from the game, I think it was 3rd and 5. I mean, it was a double move. Aaron had a slide up into the pocket, and didn't actually talking with Aaron in his interview yesterday. You know, he felt good about the way the ball came off his hand. He thought he had it, but it's, you know, once again, you got two things going on there. You know, you have the receiver running a double move in the man-to-man situation, and got the coverage, and Greg ran a good route. But you know, with Aaron sliding, you know, the angle of the throw obviously changes, and I think I probably factored in him missing it. Not that I'm avoided, you know, this is really the same schedule that I've used in the past. I think it's important to speak to every one of your players. You know, we had exit interviews that frankly it takes 2 days to get through the whole team. You know, some conversations that are set for 10 minutes, some go 10 minutes, some go 20 minutes. So then obviously I start with the defense today and special teams tomorrow and offense on Friday. Now we're coaching the Pro Bowl, so I won't be able to sit down with the assistant coaches one-on-one until we get back. It's a process you have to go through. Exit interviews are very valuable to the development and growth of your program. I'm a big believer in that. It gives an opportunity to gain information and give information back to the players. And I think it's been very helpful in how we move forward as a program. Now there's, you know, trust me, I don't react to everything that's said in there. I mean, I will say this about our team this year. It's clearly the most accountable football team from top to bottom that I've coached. In years prior, you probably would have, you know, 4, 5, 6 maybe, you know, more conflicting conversations. That was really not the case this week. So that was a positive that I can step back and, you know, everybody was accountable for what happened on Sunday, and the player accountability was extremely high.
Mike, there's still significant value to having a couple of older guys on this team, like Shriver, who sounded like he kind of thinks he has a good chance he won't be back, and maybe Woodson, who's got a pretty good size cap number. I mean, are those two guys important to what you guys do, even as you get younger?
I think veteran players are very important. Leadership is very important to your locker room. So, you know, but when I for me to start crossing over different issues as far as cap, you know, roster, performance, you know, this is really premature for me to even really talk about it. I'm in the evaluation process, something I do every year. It'll be done thoroughly, and Ted Thompson and I probably won't sit down to after the Super Bowl and go through the roster. So we'll go through the roster and, you know, but I have to get all the information and make sure that I'm ready. And, you know, a lot of it, you know, you deal with throughout the year. There's nothing that was said today in the meeting with Don Capers and I that I was surprised by, you know. So, but it's, you know, you have to go through the process. It's important to be detailed in your evaluation process, because when you get to big decisions, those would be huge decisions, and you have to make sure that you have all the information.
Two more.
How much does Scott Wells mean to your offense?
Well, he's a center. He's a center in a multi scheme offense. So I mean, and he's more importantly, he's a heck of a football player. So I make no bones about it. I told Scott, I hope we're working together again next year. You know, he's you know, going into free agency, and we'll see what happens. But you know, Scott Wells has been a very valuable member of our football team. I think he's done an excellent job the last couple of years. I would say he's clearly the best lineman we've had this year. You know, as far as his performance, it's nice to see him being recognized as a Pro Bowl center. So I hope we can get it worked out.
Charles Woodson obviously plays a lot of different roles, but are you anticipating at least asking him to play full-time safety, or how do you look at his role in the future?
I think really that conversation is very premature. You know, but once again, we're just getting started on the evaluation process. You know, I got to probably sort through what Dom and I talked about today, and then, you know, I'll go through all the defensive coaches. But you know, we're not making any position changes today.